Hello and welcome to 7 Days of Gaming, the biggest stories from the last week in the PC gaming world. I'm your host, Alex Pace, and this episode covers the week from the 9th to 16th of February 2017. We've got Steam Greenlight removed, E3 open to the public, paid mods to return, and an NBA Pro Gaming League. Steam's Greenlight system is set to be replaced by something called Steam Direct, doing away with community votes and instead requiring developers to submit paperwork and pay a small application fee. Valve say Greenlight was a useful stepping stone towards a more direct method of distribution, but was regularly criticized for being both a popularity contest and lacking in quality control, as well as exposing the need for improving the entire pipeline. It did, however, lead to over 100 games earning more than $1 million apiece. The new process will be similar to applying for a bank account, with a set of digital paperwork, personal or company verification, and tax documents being filled out. A fee will also be required, but the exact amount has not yet been agreed upon. Preliminary discussions reveal suggestions ranging from $100 to $5,000, with pros and cons for each end of the scale. Publisher Raw Fury say they will be willing to pay that fee for selected games if it does end up on the high side, only asking that the fee be refunded if the game makes enough revenue. Valve will be taking more feedback before coming to a final decision, and the move over is expected to be made later this year. E3 this year will be, for the first time, fully open to the public, with 15,000 tickets going on sale. The expo last year had a limited side event open to the public, but feedback has told them all the public really want to do is play the games, and the developers want that to happen. Tickets will cost $150 now, and later will go up to $250. The event will run from the 13th to the 15th of June. Another event with confirmed dates is PAX Australia, which will take place from the 27th to 29th of October in Melbourne. Tickets go on sale on the 14th of March and will cost $65 for a single day and $165 for the full 3 days. Parent company Facebook is closing down 40% of its Oculus Rift demonstration stations in Best Buy stores across the US. Oculus say this is part of a wider seasonal change, and they will now focus on larger markets. Best Buy said there were some days when a store wouldn't give a single demo, and only a couple of headsets will be sold a week. Microsoft stores around the world will continue to offer opportunities to try the product out. Gabe Newell has provided further comment on the three VR games the company is making, saying they're using the technique of developing hardware and software at the same time, much like Nintendo legend Shigeru Miyamoto. He says the games are not small proof-of-concept projects like The Lab, but full games that they expect to sell. The company will still continue to experiment with hardware and will be using both the Unity and Source 2 engines. In other Steam news, Gabe Newell has also spoken about Valve's plans to bring back paid Steam Workshop mods. The system was first introduced nearly 2 years ago and was met with a huge amount of feedback from both ends of the spectrum. Newell says stepping into an established modding community like Skyrim was a mistake, and the system's failure overshadowed what they still believe to be a useful feature. He also says modders create a lot of value and are not being compensated accurately for it. Describing the Skyrim situation as a mess, he says they have learnt a lot, but will be more careful when reintroducing the new system. Rebellion are putting their Judge Dredd IP up for use. The company says they can't make enough games for all the characters within the IP, and so are allowing other developers to buy licenses. 4 to 5 games are expected in the near future, although some are saying the response might be much greater than that. Hitman developer IO Interactive are working on a new IP, with some vague details leaking through a recent job listing. The game will use Unreal Engine, and the job listing specified work with a team that works on new mechanics. No further details are available. Former president of Daybreak Games Company and EverQuest, PlanetSide and H1Z1 creator John Smedley is leading a new studio under Amazon Game Studios in San Diego. He is working on yet another ambitious title, which, like several other upcoming games, will use Amazon's new Lumberyard engine, which has built-in support for integrated Twitch streaming and the AWS cloud system. Digital storefront Humble Bundle is branching out into the publishing scene, launching a multi-platform publishing and funding program. Humble described the initiative as a multi-million dollar investment for games large and small, and will include PC, console, and mobile platforms. While the company already offers an affiliate program that exposes games to YouTube and Twitch audiences, they say they want to do more than just aid discoverability. Describing it as a la carte publishing, they will offer funding for games based on the services they need, including porting, marketing, and localization. 7 games are already signed up to publish. Microsoft has confirmed neither the new Intel Kaby Lake or AMD Ryzen processors will have driver support for Windows 7. The company says restricting support to Windows 10 enables them to focus on deep integration between Windows and the silicon, while maintaining maximum reliability and compatibility with previous generations of the platform and silicon. While systems using one of the two processors will likely still boot, there may be some issues and inconsistencies that mean it won't perform at its absolute best. In game release and update news, Elder Scrolls Online has received housing in the new free Homestead DLC. In-rooms, apartments, houses, manors, and even an island full of property can all be decorated with over 2,000 different items. 39 different types of buildings are available, with the home types each having variant styles after the 10 playable characters in the game. Overwatch is getting some customization-oriented features, with a server browser, custom game making, and capture the flag becoming a permanent game mode. The server browser will show the custom games in your region and allow some basic filtering options. You can make your own custom games, tweaking specific things like ability cooldowns, giving certain extra characters health, and creating uneven teams. Blizzard say they might add new features over time. Faster Than Light developers Subset Games have announced Into the Breach, an isometric, turn-based pixel art tactical kaiju battler where you must defend the last remnants of humanity against giant monsters. The world will be grid-based and randomly generated, with music from the same composer as FTL. In esports news, the NBA have created a partnership with Take-Two Interactive, creating a professional gaming league specifically for the NBA 2K series. It will be the first officially organized esports league run by a US pro sports league. It will also share similarities to the real NBA, with a regular season, a playoff, and a championship. Each NBA team has the option to create their own gaming team, with each player playing with a user-created avatar instead of a real athlete. The NBA 2K franchise has sold 68 million copies worldwide, and is close to becoming 2K's best-selling sports game of all time. The series will debut next year. Team Liquid has qualified for the Dota 2 Asia Championships, winning the Europe qualifier 2-0 against Bears. Ninjas in Pyjamas made the decision this year to return to Dota 2 Pro Gaming, but ended up being eliminated in the group playoffs. UTA HODT are currently in the lead at the Heroes of the Storm Global Championships in the US, leading 240 points to even in deaths 100. Another 5 weeks of games are still due. Russian player Pavel from Armor Team has beat British Green Sheep of Gosu Crew 20 points to 15 in the Hearthstone Europe Winter Championship playoffs. Pavel will advance to the International Winter Championships in the Bahamas with a $250,000 prize pool. The top 10 sellers on Steam this week were Conan Exiles, Rainbow Six, Siege, CSGO, H1Z1, King of the Kill, Ark, Survival Evolved, GTA 5, For Honor, and Resident Evil 7. Finally, my favourite store of the week was, Valve has a new tactic for dealing with cheaters in CSGO, artificial intelligence. In a discussion on the subreddit for the game, one user asked a Valve employee why they don't create a detection system for each specific kind of cheat. The employee responded with details on a machine learning system that would be able to keep up with the ever-changing characteristics of cheat behavior. He writes that any kind of hard-coded detection leads to an arms race with cheat developers. If they can find the edges of the definition you're using to detect the cheat, the problem comes back. Instead, you want to create a machine learning approach, training and continuously retraining, a classifier that can detect the differences between cheaters and players. However, this would also take a serious demand on hardware, and the data center required to do the work would have to be capable of powering thousands of CPU cores simultaneously. Valve has apparently made a start on this work, but it's unclear if this will actually ever be implemented. You can become a patron of the show at patreon.com/7daysofgaming. Get snazzy rewards and perks in return for everything you donate going towards improving quality and equipment. Whoever signs on before we reach $20 a month will enter into the Hall of Fame, where you can have two links of your choosing displayed on the website. Thanks a bunch for listening to the episode. You can check out the show at 7daysofgaming.com and sign up for email updates. You can also follow the show on Twitter at 7_D_G, leave a like on the Facebook page, and join the Steam group. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, and basically every other podcast service you can think of, and YouTube, where the show is quick and easy to find if you don't have access to your usual podcast device. Any kind of feedback is welcome. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes and say what you think about the show. And thanks to you, my dear listener, the last episode brought in a landmark 400 plays, bringing the total to over 1,000. It's small, but it's still a milestone. Keep sharing us around to anyone you know who's part of the glorious PC Master Race. Thanks to Rocco W for the music, and see you next week.